The word of God given to us today is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. Please turn to page 290 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words of God. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. I wish that the grace and peace of Christmas be with your families and places of work. The literary work that comes to mind during the Christmas season is A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. It was published 175 years ago in 1843. The protagonist, Scrooge, has become a byword of people who hate spending money. When his former business partner and friend, Marley, passed away, instead of grieving, he carried out his funeral with the smallest expenses. When his nephew Fred came to him and proposed that he have dinner with his family on Christmas Day, he dismissed his nephew, thinking, why would poor people care about spending a Merry Christmas? Also, when people from a church asked him to donate money for those who have no food to eat or no place to stay, he refused, stating that they have nothing to do with him. He was displeased that his clerk, Bob, was taking the day off on Christmas Day. Scrooge is described in the novel as the following: a squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching old sinner. The cold within him froze his old features, nipped his pointed nose, shriveled his cheek, stiffened his gait, made his eyes red, his thin lips blue, and spoke out shrewdly in his grating voice. The Apostle Paul is a diaspora that was born in 5 AD in Tarsus, the capital of Cilicia, which is located in the southeast of Turkey today. The literal meaning of diaspora is scattered seeds. It referred to Jews who left Palestine and scattered across the world, but kept to the customs and norms of Judaism. Acts of Paul, a record left by an anonymous author in the second century, refers to Paul as short, with a crooked back, bow-legged, bald, with a unibrow and a hooked nose. However, his personality is recorded as gentle. The reason the Apostle Paul was acknowledged by the Jews since the time he was young and called Saul is because he was a Pharisee and one that strictly followed the laws of Judaism. He could not put up with Christians' claims. They could not accept that they claimed Jesus, who grew up in the home of the poor, Nazareth of Galilee, and was killed on the cross, was Christ, and could not accept that he rose from the dead in 3 days. Saul believed that Jesus, who claimed to be Christ, could not be the Messiah people of Israel were waiting for. He thought this person should not be the Messiah. He thought that the Messiah should at least be greater than King David. He thought the people who followed someone who wasn't Christ should be punished. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 2 say, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem." Saul did not head to Damascus upon the request of the high priest, the Pharisees, or the Jews. He voluntarily went to the high priest and asked him for letters to synagogues in Damascus. It was his plan to have people who followed Jesus to be brought as prisoners to Jerusalem. The Apostle Paul confesses in a letter to Timothy, his spiritual son, what kind of person he had been in the past. Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 says, "Even though I was once a blasphemer and persecutor and violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief." The Apostle Paul describes his past self with the three words, blasphemer, persecutor, and violent man. A blasphemer is a person who insults a person with unspeakable words. Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." The Jews could not accept or stand this. They thought God was an existence whom nobody could call. But someone stating that one was equal to God was the greatest thinkable sin. It was blasphemy for which even crucifixion was considered a light punishment. So when the Apostle Paul confesses he was a blasphemer, it does not mean that he was disrupting the work of other people, but that he was disrupting the work of God and that he had insulted God. A persecutor is a person who follows a person who is running away and makes him fall. So Paul is confessing that he was a person who followed a person who was running from him and exercised violence. A violent man is an arrogant person who abuses and bullies others. The Apostle Paul was spiritually like Scrooge. Scrooge's view of people and the world was through the perspective of money. Paul's view of people and the world was through the perspective of the laws of Judaism. For Scrooge, all that mattered was money. He He had many possessions, but he was poor in relationships with people. He always ate dinner alone at pubs, and the apartment he lived in was so old, he was the only person living there. Other rooms were used as offices, so at night, all of the lights of the building went out. On Christmas Eve, the ghost of his former business partner and friend Marley, who died 7 years ago, came to him, tied in chains. Marley tells him the chains were forged due to his sins, and that that of Scrooge's would be much longer and heavier. And he explains why he came to Scrooge. The reason I am here tonight is to tell you there is still a chance and hope for you to avoid the same fate. It is a single chance and hope that I have prepared for you. He says that the ghosts of the past, present, and future would come to Scrooge. Scrooge, with the ghost, took a look at himself as he was younger, at his clerk Bob working in his office, and his nephew Fred's house. And then he saw himself after death. His funeral was arranged with the smallest expenses, and few people were willing to attend. Some people said they would visit if lunch was provided, but more people said they wouldn't go even if lunch were provided. There was nobody at his funeral, only cats and mice. He cried out after seeing himself buried in a graveyard full of weed, a place nobody took care of. I am no longer the person I was. From now onwards, I will keep a heart celebrating Christmas all year long. I will live remembering the ghosts of the past, present, and future. This is because they keep guiding me. I will not do anything that goes against their teachings. Just tell me that I can erase the words engraved on this tombstone. Someone also came to Saul when he was heading to Damascus to imprison the followers of Jesus. Acts chapter 9, verses 3 to 5 say, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Jesus Christ coming upon Saul changed his life entirely. From a life of standing against Jesus to a life for Jesus. From a life walking with his back toward the Lord to a life walking toward Jesus. From a life of laws to a life of the gospel. As we refer to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as the chapter of love and Hebrews chapter 11 the chapter of faith, we refer to Acts chapter 9 as Paul's experience of religion. Experiencing religion means regretting and fixing one's past and opening one's eyes to faith. The agent changing one's mind is oneself. So this verb in Korean is not a transitive verb, but an intransitive verb. But Saul had no intention of changing his mind when he was heading to Damascus. Considering this, Acts chapter 9 should not be called Paul's experience of religion, but him becoming subject to experiencing religion. When pottery is cracked and useless, the potter throws it on a rock so that it is shattered. And then he grinds the pieces and makes new pottery. For Paul, Acts chapter 9 is the day his former life, with the perspective of laws, was shattered to pieces. And it is the moment Paul takes his first steps with a perspective of grace. So Paul says the following in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Paul does not say he presses on to take hold of that which I took, but that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. So faith is not a noun of active form, but passive form. It is not something we hold on to, but us being held on to. But because this is passive form does not mean that it is passive in action. Actually, it's the opposite. If the one that called us is great, we make efforts to be more faithful, truthful, and active. The one who called Paul and us is the Creator and Savior, our Lord. Paul hated Jesus and regarded all who followed him as people to imprison. He also supported Stephen being stoned to death. He then lived giving his life to the Lord, deeply moved by the grace of God, who did not give up on him and came to him. The Apostle Paul refers to a life that not I have taken hold of, but that which Christ took hold of me, as the following. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. We who are descendants of Adam and Eve were beings that could only die, beings that were spiritually dead. But we did not know that we were such beings. We didn't know that what we had to seek. So God, who so loved the world, sent his only Son and saved us, whose fate was to die. This is because there was no other way without sending his only Son. So Paul confesses that the love of Christ, who died for us, compels us. This means to encircle and hold on to. Paul lived remembering the love of the Lord, who encircled and held on to him. He could not live a life of the past. The same applies to us. We were Scrooges that died of our sins and were full of greed and selfishness, thinking that what was visible was everything, and we thought it was best to live according to worldly values. Then Christ's love encircled and guided us. Verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." It says, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. A new creation is one that is completely different in quality. Jesus Christ is a being that makes us anew, regardless of how ugly our pasts were. Jesus Christ came to this world 2,000 years ago. Jesus didn't come to Apostle Paul because he was faithfully following him. It was not because Paul was living a good life helping others. It was not because he wanted to meet Jesus Christ and begin a new life. This is the point of Christmas. The angels celebrated Jesus' birth singing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." However, it is not because we deserve this that we were endowed with the grace of Christmas. It is because of the one-sided love of God that we have become new creations that are blessed by the grace of Christmas and live a life connected to eternity. The deeper we think of this grace, the newer our lives will become. A Christmas Carol concludes as the following: "After that, Scrooge never saw the ghosts again. All people said, if there was anyone who knew how to spend Christmas, it was Scrooge." If one person's life could change with ghosts coming to him, how newer could our lives become if we were to live in Christ, make him our purpose, and walk with him? I hope the world becomes anew through us, who have become new creations through the grace of Christmas. Merry Christmas. We thank you, Lord, for coming to this world to save us. If you did not come to us, if you did not become our Lord and guide us, we would have lived lives such as Scrooge. When we look back on our lives, we realize we lived to grasp hold of things that others possessed, and even went beyond that. We struggled in order to sit higher than others, to sit at a seat that appeared appealing to others. We thought this would make us ourselves. But when we failed to get hold of what we wanted and sit where we wanted, we were disappointed. Even when we got what we wanted and got seated above where we wished to sit, we were always filled with emptiness and spent sleepless nights due to loneliness and anxiety. We thank you for coming to us and allowing us the joy of Christmas. Let the hymns of the angels, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests," become our hymn. Make our daily lives anew through your grace by which you came to us and made us new creations. Let each day of the year and the rest of our lives be Christmas by inviting you, Lord, into the center of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.